Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this live Watchman Radio broadcast on the Omega Radio Network. I am Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries in Northwest Arkansas. And in 30 minutes, my beloved wife, Patricia, will be joining me. Patricia and I want to say thank you to those who have sown into this radio ministry and who have blessed us with their finances to pay the bills. As you know, we are spending $1,700 every month to broadcast over KERM Radio on AM FM and to broadcast on this Omega Radio station. Thank you very much. A dear friend of ours in California, Pam, we want to say thank you for your gift. It was quite a surprise. God bless you. A $250 donation. We want to say thank you to the Brunses for their $100 donation. We want to say thank you to Barbara Patchell for a $100 donation. In all, we received, and our dear friend Donald, thank you so much for your $80 donation, and also to George for your $100 donation. And we received a total yesterday when I went to the mailbox of $600. Praise the Lord. Now we're only $1,100 short of what we need to do for the rest of this month. And it is July 2nd. But sincerely, God has always provided. But to those of you who have supported this ministry with your prayers, with your love, by tuning in and your finances, we can't say anything but thank you. Patricia and I count it an honor that of all the different voices and ministries that are in the earth today, that you have chosen to tune into what we are doing. We are humbled by it. We are truly honored that there are those who would take time to listen to what we are sharing, to consider it deeply like Bereans, and to come to a spiritual understanding of what time it is in the economy of God. And so that is what we're going to continue to do. We are going to continue to broadcast over these airwaves and share from the giftedness that God has given us to you. And we can only pray that this broadcast will help further assist you in your preparations in spirit, soul, and body to be prepared for what is coming in the days that we are living in. And I'm going to begin with an article today that I feel is extremely important. And I'm going to share with you a vision that a friend contacted me yesterday who has asked me not to give their names. That has been this individual's, what do they call it? The modus operandi, their MO. They don't want their name mentioned, and that's fine. It is an individual that does not go to our church or the family of God here in Northwest Arkansas with New Wine Ministries, but an individual that has shared this vision. And I have been reading these probably for about 6 months, and they're very awe-inspiring because they normally happen during worship at the church that this individual goes to. And this is what he gave just for this last Sunday. Today's Tuesday. So on June 30th, this individual had this vision. And I thought it was amazing because this individual, as far as I know, does not listen to our radio broadcast in the morning. They may, I don't know, but that's kind of the relationship we have. And yesterday we were talking about the crises that we are moving into. And one of the crises of food production, food control, how most Americans today would not be able to know how to take care of themselves if there were no food in the grocery stores. And there was no foods and tractor trailers being delivered to those stores or those cities. I mean, what would happen to the majority of people that weren't able to go get a meal and cook it for themselves, right? How would they grow their food? How would they take care of it, et cetera, et cetera? So this was interesting, and I want to share it with you now. The vision given by a dear friend. He said, during the worship service at church this morning, I had a vision that concerns me a lot. In the vision, I was about 100 feet in the air and could see for a long way. In the vision, I was looking out over a countryside that had a mixture of trees and grassy areas in it, perhaps pastures separated by wooded areas. I'm not sure. I could see for a long way. I saw a small town in the distance and homes scattered here and there. I could not identify where I was seeing. It could have been a large number of places, but I am pretty sure that it was in the USA somewhere. There were low rolling hills in the near distance. As I was looking, I felt a very hot and dry wind spring up, blowing from the south. It increased to about 20 to 25 miles per hour and was so hot and dry that it felt like it could suck the moisture of everything it blew across. I looked into the far distance and saw what looked like a massively roiling, rolling dust storm coming from the south. It was a dark, sandy brown with a slight orangish tint to it, and appeared to tower at least 1,000 feet into the sky. It was moving fast, with the wind blowing it along. As it got nearer to where I was watching, I could hear a humming, droning buzz coming from it. As it approached closer to where I was, I saw that it was not a dust storm as I had originally thought, but was rather an enormous, miles-long cloud of locusts that was being blown along by the hot wind. These locusts looked to all be at least 6 inches in length and were busily devouring everything in their path, crawling over each other to get at something to eat. Every scrap of vegetation was stripped from the earth as they passed. The trees were stripped bare as the locusts ate even the bark off of them, leaving chewed bare wood behind them. These locusts even swarmed any animals and people that they came across. Animals and people both were covered with the rapacious insects, and when the locust moved on, these animals and people that had previously looked healthy and well-fed were, while still alive, left looking dried out, emaciated, and the people were left clothed in flapping rags of what used to be good clothing. Nothing that could be devoured was left behind. The countryside was stripped bare. The vision ended at this point. I felt saddened and depressed about what I had seen. When I told my wife about what I had seen, she made the comment that the vision sounded a lot like the plague of locusts described in the book of Joel, chapter 1. I checked out the reference, and it does sound a lot like what Joel described. If it is, then woe to America. The dust storm of locusts that I saw could be intended to be partially taken literally, but I have the uncomfortable feeling that there is a stronger spiritual significance to the vision. If so, then this country could very well be in the initial stages of the locust invasion right now. I do not know. So yesterday, pardon me for the voice thing. Yesterday, I received this vision from a friend. I was talking about locusts. I was on the air yesterday telling you about angry bees and black horses. We studied the book of Revelation yesterday and the meaning of the black horse and its rider, the scale in his hands, the economic imbalance that brings famine and drought. Now, think about this, folks. Yesterday, again, we are conversing about something God revealed, obviously, while we were in Illinois, the black horses, which led us to Revelation 6, the angry bees, okay, the angry bees, which in my mind represented that this black horse rider that rides all over the earth, by the way, it's not isolated to any particular region of the world, but once it goes forth, it moves, and that this black horse has come to the United States that brings an economic imbalance. We have been weighed in the balances and found lacking. I told you about the handwriting on the wall in Daniel. The angry bees represented to me Islamic terrorists, cell groups, whatever they are. And now we're just learning today that London, England, has lost touch with over 1,000 ISIS soldiers who have returned to the European continent. And they are now bringing chilling warnings. That's very interesting that London is in the mix, and I'll tell you why perhaps in just a little bit. By the way, just a side note, I have an article in front of me here that I don't want to give too much attention to, but I think it's noteworthy before I move on. Please hold in your mind what I just shared with you in the vision of the locust. I want to go into that more. But New York City turned a sea of rainbow colors Sunday. This is the same Sunday that this man saw the vision, as several million people flooded the streets to celebrate World Pride, including a record number of parade participants, organizers said. So the huge, spectacular build is the biggest LGBTQ demonstration and celebration in the world, saw the city swamped with extravagant outfits and noise from constant cheering. Parade organizers said there were about 150,000 or twice the usual number of participants marching down Fifth Avenue this year, easily the most ever. They estimated that another more than 2.5 million or a greater than the typical number showed up along the sidelines to cheer them on. The event carried extra meaning this year as it noted the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising. All right, I don't want to go any further into that, but it says here, this is The parade's grand marshals included the cast of TV's Pose, UK Black Pride co-founder Phil Opaku, transgender activist, and so on and so forth. So I just wanted to bring a little side note. Now let's get back. New York City, they're saying over 2.5 million people swamped the city, rainbow colors, flaunting, pouring out the shame and disgrace of such a negative behavior, attitude, and unnatural way of life, okay? And it's happening all over the world, but New York, the biggest ever. Now let's get back. I want to read to you another article that was sent to me yesterday, okay? And I did not read this article yesterday. I haven't even read through it all today. I'm about to share with you because after yesterday's broadcast about the food shortages, the black horse, the balance, economic crash, famine, plague, all these things that the black horse represents in Revelation 6, this now came to my attention, and I'm reading it with you for the first time, so let's see where it goes. It begins with a devastating crop losses are literally happening all over the globe. Let me warn you right up front, the information in this article might freak you out if what some experts are telling you, telling us is true. A global, these are food experts now, okay? A global food crisis appears to be inevitable. Even during good years, we have a really difficult time feeding everyone on the planet, and now a major climate shift appears to be happening. Our sun has become exceedingly quiet, and many experts believe that this is a sign that a solar minimum is now upon us. Of course, we have seen solar minimums happen quite regularly in the past, and if this is just a normal solar minimum, then conditions should begin to return to normal after a couple of years. Unfortunately, evidence continues to mount that we have entered what is known as a grand solar minimum. In fact, Professor Valentina Zarkova says that what we are facing is a super grand solar minimum. And if that is true, we are going to be facing climate chaos like we have never seen before. During previous grand solar minimums, the globe was gripped by devastating famines and vast numbers of people died. Could a similar scenario potentially be in our future? Now, I want to pause in the article before going any further. And I want to read, you know, every morning I send out, and I hope to not to the dismay of anybody, but I send out every morning a wake-up call to say, hey, guys, we're getting ready to go on the air. And yesterday, an individual wrote to me, and I had no idea what he was talking about. But it was my friend Bob here in Arkansas wrote to me and said, I believe, this is yesterday, he said, I believe this grand solar minimum we have entered has to do with the famine dream I had, store up ASAP. And I thought to myself, what the heck is a grand solar minimum? If you're like me, I've never heard of a grand solar minimum. And then when I looked at that, I just dismissed it because I didn't know what it meant. And yet the article that was sent to me yesterday is talking about the grand solar minimum. So I thought we better read this. And it's all about crop failure, crop chaos, famine, plague, the black horse. It all seems to be fitting together here. And we need to pay attention. I was talking with our elder George, who's up in Wisconsin. And he told me that the farmers up there, he said, you will not believe what the government is doing to choke the industry of dairy and cattle up in the Wisconsin area. There was a whole herd of cattle, I think you call them herds of cattle, that were wiped out in a flood, again, adding to the million head of cattle that were wiped out. And remember, we read in Leviticus last week, 26, that one of the judgments that would come upon the nation that disobeys God, that God would destroy their cattle. I mean, it's right there. Things are happening before our eyes, and we're kind of like, okay, let's understand this. Well, let's get back to this grand solar minimum. I never heard about it. Maybe you never heard about it. Maybe you know all about it. But here's what the article continues to say. Ice Age Farmer has compiled, I guess that's somebody's, wheelhouse name. Ice Age Farmer has compiled a grand solar minimum crop loss map, which you can view right here. And on the internet, I can see it. And I appreciate our friends at ANP for pointing it out to us. Ice Age Farmer's map shows that there are literally dozens of locations all over the globe right now that are reporting significant crop losses. And this is really unlike anything we have ever seen before. And by the way, many farmers right here in the United States, as I recall, someone told me, they are not able to get their crops in this summer because of all the flooding that happened. But I move on in the article now. Some parts of our planet are dealing with horrific drought, but in the middle of the United States, it just won't stop raining. In some areas of the world, it is too cold, while others are experiencing record heat. Everywhere we look, we see extremes, and the behavior of our sun is the primary reason this is happening. Last November, the writer said, I warned that we could be facing one of the coldest winters in modern times, and that is precisely what happened. Back then, top scientists were warning us that a solar minimum had arrived. And since that time, the behavior of the sun has continued to confirm that hypothesis. And here's some of the articles that he was reading. The surface of the sun is normally a roiling, which is interesting because now I'm just seeing that word roiling, which is the gentleman that shared the vision of the locust. He said a roiling, rolling. Well, here it is. The surface of the sun is normally a roiling, superheated hellscape. But NASA images have revealed that the face of our star is looking ominously calm right now, prompting claims it's reached a stage of its cycle called the solar minimum. During the minimum, there are significantly fewer sunspots and its magnetic field weakens, allowing cosmic rays from outside our solar system to rain down on Earth. Now, this solar minimum came early, and that is exactly what we would expect if we were entering a grand solar minimum. Perhaps the best-known grand solar minimum in our history was the Mondor minimum, which stretched from 1645 to 1715. And it says here, the last time a deep solar minimum was in effect was the Mondor minimum, which saw 7 decades of freezing weather, which began in 1645 and lasted through 1715 and happened when sunspots were exceedingly rare. During this period, temperatures dropped globally by 1.3 degrees Celsius, leading to shorter seasons and ultimately food shortages. So the food shortages during the Mondor minimum were quite severe, and the global death toll was enormous. Could we be facing a similar scenario this time around? Actually, economist Martin Armstrong seems to believe that it could be even worse, and I'm going to quote him. He said, the Mondor minimum created such a deep cold in Europe and extreme weather events elsewhere that what unfolds is a series of droughts, floods, and harvest failures. Historically, this leads to massive migrations, wars, and revolutions. The fatal synergy between human and natural disasters eradicated perhaps one-third of the human population during the last event, and this time we are crashing more rapidly than before. Therefore, we may exceed more than a reduction in population of one-third and reach the levels of the 14th century of 50%, which was also combined with the Black Plague. End of his quote. So without a doubt, our planet is behaving very strangely right now, and reports of crop failures are regularly coming in from all over the planet. Now, let me just interject a thought. A scripture just came to my mind as I'm reading. I was telling the other day, reading in scriptures, where the Bible says that the earth is vomiting out its inhabitants because of the corruption. So when we hear something like the earth is acting very strange, or the planet is behaving very strangely, we know that scripturally the planet, the earth, because of the corruption and greed of mankind and his wickedness, it literally vomits the people out of the land. That's what the Bible says. Are we about, did you hear, one third of the human race, one quarter of the human race just by this? And then it was the Black Plague, which killed 50%. Wow. Well, again, here's an example. That layer of stress on the agricultural industry is only intensified when you zoom out to the international level, where farmers around the world are facing various dire situations. As one North Dakota farmer and Twitter user, Jordan Gackle, pointed out in a recent thread, he said, drought is continuing to disrupt wheat crops in Australia, forcing the country to import some of its wheat from Canada. Some farmers in Canada are now reporting long stretches without rain under the hashtag drought19. Head over to China and you'll find that a legion of fall armyworms are spreading rapidly and devouring key grain crops. Well, it's becoming quite clear that food prices are going to rise substantially and that the world is going to produce a lot less food than it normally does this year. And as I noted earlier, we have a tough time feeding everyone on the planet, even during real ideal conditions. Sadly, this even includes the United States. In fact, it's not just older Americans who are already suffering from hunger and malnutrition. With this 2017 story over at Feeding America reporting that more than 41 million Americans were suffering from hunger daily, including more than 13 million children, with this National Geographic story reporting that one out of every six Americans aren't getting enough to eat. Could you believe it? But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking here about, and this is what marvels me. The article is amazing. But what marvels me is that a few days ago, as we're in Illinois, God is making my mind open to the fact of the black horse. He made it so obvious. Study the black horse of Revelation 6. Study about the angry bees. And then all of a sudden, as I'm doing this, I'm getting all this other information apart from what I'm doing. I'm not reading their stuff to bring it out. They're not reading my stuff or hearing my stuff to bring it out. And all of a sudden, this is all coming. And what is God saying? In the meantime, what are God's children doing? God's children are dancing to every pipe. They're singing to every song, but very few are actually getting ready, and they're just somehow in their mental faculties thinking, somebody will take care of me. I've been taken care of my whole life. There will always be food on the grocery store. I'll always have enough money to buy my groceries. God is good. God will take care of me. Well, listen, the last time something of a deluge like this was coming, God told Noah to build his ark. Jesus said in the last days, it will be like the days of Noah. And our faith in Hebrews chapter 11 compels us to prepare for what God is revealing coming down the pike. But what are God's people doing? They're running everywhere, going to listen here, going over there, going to do this, going to do that, spending money to travel here. But have they prepared? Now, I can speak this way because we have. We have done what God told us to do. And as we're reading these things, there's only one of two responses. You're crazy. You're mad. That is all just, you know, coincidental. Or you've done the right thing in preparing. And folks, we've got a lot more preparing to do. You probably have a lot more preparing to do. I don't know about you, but I don't know what society in your neighborhood is going to look like when there's food shortages and nobody has food and you can't go to the grocery store. And even if you could, you can't buy it because it's so expensive. Give you an example. I love grapes, and I went to get some grapes at the store, $5.99 a pound. I said, I'm out of here. I'm not buying $5.99 a pound at that particular store. So I went to another store and got grapes. So my point is, what are we going to do when the basic necessities are running so high and you start working, like it says in Revelation chapter 6 in the Black Horse, you know, one penny for a denarius or, you know, a barrel of wheat or something like that. In other words, a loaf of bread is $50. What are you going to do? And what happens when the oil industry begins to, you know, cut back and a barrel of oil goes up to $200 a gallon? Your gas prices go up to $12 a gallon. Well, now what? Are we not being warned? I believe we are being warned. Let me continue in this article. It's almost done. So it says here, what will things look like if global food production drops 10%, 20%, or even more? We have never had to deal with anything like this in modern times. And meanwhile, the population of the planet has grown from 1.6 billion in 1900 to 7.5 billion today. We have entered the time of the perfect storm, and we are going to start to witness things happen that many people would consider to be unimaginable. I truly hope that things will not be as bad as some of the experts are suggesting. But as far as crop failures are concerned, we don't have to speculate. They are happening right now all over the planet, and that means the global food supplies are going to get tighter and tighter in the months ahead. And again, I will remind our listeners, we're having this conversation because God revealed the black horse, made it abundantly clear, study the black horse. And everything is tying into what the Holy Spirit has revealed. Well, that is the report. So we have a vision of locust. Is that the drought? Is that the pestilence? Is that the famine? Is that where people that were in his vision, dressed in beautiful clothes, all of a sudden they were ragged and tattered, and they were flapping around like homeless people? And people that were very healthy, all of a sudden were emaciated and sick and hungry? I don't believe that this is all happening by coincidence. I don't believe it's happening by mistake. And unfortunately, and again, this is why I say we are humbled and we are honored that those of you who are listening to this radio broadcast, where there are so many other voices and ministries that are out there, and we praise God for every ministry that is being utilized by God to prepare and equip God's people for the days that we're living in. We have all been well educated in our Christian experience about the elementary principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the necessity of being pure and holy before the Lord, the necessity of working out a salvation with fear and trembling, the necessity of taking up our cross and dying to ourselves, knowing that in the last days, many are going to fall away. The love of many is going to wax cold. People that once walked in unity and love and fellowship are going to betray one another, hate one another because of the pressure that's coming on the earth and the things that are coming. And I do believe right now that it looks totally different to what we're saying, for the most part. Now, what does that mean? You turn on the news, you turn on TV, you go outside. Everything seems to be pretty normal where you live, right? It's not that way in Venezuela. It's not that way in Nigeria, many parts of the Middle East, Africa. Antifa is now warning of acid attacks, right? The 2020 elections are coming, right? We saw what happened in 2016 with the violent protests. Do you think it's going to be any less in 2020? And this is what? July of 2019? Yes, it's very, very late. And here's the problem, okay? If I were to diagnose this, here's the problem. If America were moral and natural and it honored God, at least to the degree we did before, you know, the 1960s, even though in the 1950s, rock and roll started to come in, you know, 1960s, all of a sudden the government said, I'm going to pick a fight with God. I'm going to get rid of everything in Bibles and prayer and classrooms, and we're going to separate the church and the state kind of thing. And, you know, then comes the hippies 60s movement of psychedelic drugs and free sex out in the open fields, and everybody was having sex and getting pregnant. And so they passed laws for abortion, starting murdering innocent babies, shedding innocent blood. We get into the Vietnam Wars, and they're useless wars where tens of thousands of our young men are killed at war and young women are out there. And then it just goes from there into the 1980s of the prosperity, and people were buying boats and cars and houses, and cocaine was the mainstay drug. And then you fast forward into the 1990s and you see Clinton come to power, and we begin to see corruption in the White House like we hadn't seen in a long, long time with Monica Lewinsky, et cetera, et cetera. And we have other New World Order ideas where government gets a little bit bigger. They get more invasive. They want to get control. A global agenda begins to manifest before the eyes of the world. No longer a sovereign, independent, one nation under God, but a global agenda. And then comes the Bushes, and then comes the war. The Twin Towers are knocked down. The Patriot Act comes into power. NSA spyware, red alert, yellow alert, orange alert. The American people are screaming through the streets of New York, running for their lives. Al-Qaeda's on the move. Terrorism's on the move. Bombings in Bali, bombings in London, bombings here, bombings there. The control is there. We need security, security, security. And here we are today. Your phone is a listening device. Your algorithms have been known. People have been caught in the snare. They can't leave home without their phones. And we're being sucked into the vortex of what the enemy is doing. And God is telling his people all along, come out of her, my people. And we're having a hard time. We're struggling. Well, how will we live if we give up our phones? How will we connect with people? What will happen if we don't have a computer? What will happen if we don't have a TV? What will happen if we can't go to the bank and we don't have all the necessary, you know, the right forms? Well, let me ask you this. How are people going to live when the Revelation Great Tribulation happens and you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast? We're being preconditioned on how to live in the world and our need for the world so that our needs can be met. I mean, no food, no water, no gas, no homes, no nothing without the mark of the beast. And yet we don't want to inconvenience ourselves right now and get into uncomfortable environments of beginning the process of pulling out, because that would be extremely uncomfortable. And I would simply say, look at the homeless people in Los Angeles, all the homeless people. You know what they're really doing? I guarantee you, a lot of homeless people are people that were just like you and I, but heard the voice of God saying, come out of her, and they've begun the journey out of the system. I don't know. That's my guess. Patricia Joy is with me right now. Good morning, Patricia. How are you this morning?
I am doing very well in spite of everything. But you know what? We have one more day to get it right. Isn't that incredible?
That is incredible. We need to get it right.
Oh, do we ever? And you know, our Lord is so very gracious to warn us by and through signs and wonders. It is just phenomenal how he does that. We are serving such a gracious God that he would give us the signs of what is happening through various ways and means, but we have to be open to that by the move of the Holy Spirit in operation, because the Holy Spirit will give us understanding in a manner and way that we would not be able to know without him. And what do I mean by signs and wonders? Well, I believe it's an indication of something extraordinary to happen. And it says, the Bible said, will begin to happen more often in the last days, pointing to very unusual events. And we are having very unusual events and being shown by these signs and wonders, as has been spoken to you and spoken to others who are open to receive these marvelous gifts from the Holy Spirit. And I would ask that each and every one of us would begin to ask for the Holy Spirit to reveal the depths of what the Lord is doing in this time, generally, universally, but even more importantly, within your own life. Because he will guide you, he will direct your steps. I promise you, he will, if you are open to receive his precious Holy Spirit. And that could only be done by faith. And then we need to begin to grow in character. This is essential. Right at this time, Paul the Apostle says, then how then shall we be in the times in which are approaching? And that is the way we should be. We should be open to the workings of the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit to give us divine wisdom through signs and wonders and miraculous things that are happening, to move in the power and indication of his authority. And then on top of that, to build character within ourselves through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, being prepared for every event that is about ready to happen.
Well, Patricia, while you're talking, what I hear in your voice, what I hear by the Spirit of God, is a call to the wise virgins to get their oil. It is going to be imperative. You see, it's one thing to have love. Okay, let's say you are full of love. You're there right now. You're a Christian. You love God. You love the body of Christ. You have love in your heart. But we read in the Bible that the love of many will wax cold. And we know and have learned, because we've studied the scriptures like you, that a few of the tricks of the devil to rob the love in people's hearts are going to be fear. People are going to get afraid, and they're going to get offended. Fear and offense are the twin sisters of destruction, okay? The destruction of the oil, the destruction of your love, the destruction of your faith. And you cannot tell me that in these last days where we are witnessing millions of people around this United States of America, and who knows the number around the world, that are cheering and celebrating the grossest acts of immorality and unnaturalness, that we're okay. We are not okay. We are not okay. The artificial intelligence, the technology today, everything that is around us, Jesus said, like a snare shall it come, and they will not escape. And so what is it? It is being a wise virgin and making sure that you have oil in your lamp. And when the foolish virgins come to you and say, give us of your oil, you have to be ready to say, not so, lest we don't have enough for ourselves. And some Christian people, like the philosophy going on today, oh, how unchristian is that? How unchristian is it if somebody asks you, the Bible said, they'll say, the Bible says, if they ask of you, give it to them. But here Jesus said, when the foolish virgins ask, you are to say no, but then you'll be accused of not being a Christian. So here is the requirement of wisdom and balance. The Word of God is full of wisdom and balance. And you need to know when to say yes, and you need to know when to say no, and you need to know what time it is right now and stop listening to everything going on in the world and read your Bible and look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times and interpret the meaning of them. We are trying to do that daily on this radio broadcast and others to get people to see through the biblical lens what's going on in the world. Now, you're seeing images about a reporter that was beat up terribly by Antifa gangs just yesterday or the day before. And I told you that I believe that 2019 will be known as a summer of violence. And you're going to see violent images all over your television, and it's coming. And the imperative is that you need to be, and I need to be, in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing right now, which is amassing as much oil, spiritual maturity, spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge. Get the provisions for your spirit, your soul, and your body. Get your natural foods, get your spiritual foods. Get your natural water, get your spiritual water. Get everything you need in order right now. Get out of debt, find ways, pray to God, do what you got to do, confess, repent for foolish spending, honor God with your first fruits and everything that God gives you so that you'll always have a promise of Him meeting your needs. I'll tell you, it's getting very late, Patricia. It's a call to preparation.
You so well brought forth the real issue that the Holy Spirit was trying to convey regarding how then shall we be. When you brought up the 10 virgins and the preparation for the Lord to come, these 10 virgins are very important to understand, because the first 5 were foolish, but the second 5 were wise, representing the church, and half were foolish, half were wise. And these wise virgins were wise because they had oil for their lamps. And what does that oil represent? That oil represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit to perceive, to see, and to understand. That's why they had lamps. And what are they understanding? They are understanding that they should be in the right place at the right time, doing the right things, being guided by the Holy Spirit. That was exceptional. That's exactly what the Lord's heart is crying out at this moment.
Amen. So everywhere you go, everything you do, do not just seek to be entertained and occupied with foolish things. Make sure where you go, you're getting oil, you're getting fed, you're getting built up. Now, I'm going to throw something into the mix here. And this is why I'm going to tell people right now to get out of the way. And it's not because of the big bad devil, and it's not because of the big bad wolf, and it's not because of what Antifa's going to do. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, Christian men and women, listen, because I'm telling you what I'm about to share with you. I don't know how it's happening, but it's definitely happening. It may actually even be happening in your own heart and mind. When you look at what's going on in this country and the blasphemy that's going on, maybe this is happening on the inside of you. Time will tell. But here's why I'm saying get out of the way. Not because of what Russia's going to do, China's going to do, North Korea's going to do, Iran's going to do, the sleeper cells are going to do. They're just tools and instruments in the hands of a holy God, okay? But here's what I'm looking at. It says in Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." Sometimes I look around and I wonder, is the spirit of the two witnesses operating in the earth today? Is it possible that the calamities that we are seeing are a result of the righteous, spiritual witnesses of God who are looking at what's going on, and they are striking the earth with the plagues, and it's not just the devil? Is it possible, I wonder, that the indignation that God felt in the days of Isaiah when he said to the Assyrian, "Come and be my tool, and I'm going to put a weapon in your hand, and it's my indignation against Israel"? Is it possible? And I do. I look around and I say, you know what? I believe the spirit of the two witnesses is in the earth. And I believe that somewhere, wherever they are speaking and prophesying and calling forth plagues. Listen to what it says again. "They have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." And when these two witnesses, the spirit of these witnesses, speaks and utters and prays and prophesies the destruction, then some instrument is raised up to perform their will. Some plague is raised up to perform their will. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not that Christians should be running and hiding, biting their nails. "I'm so afraid and terrified of what the devil's going to do." Never do we believe that. What we believe is that God told Noah, "You build an ark, you get out of the way because of what I'm going to do. You tell Lot to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah because of what I'm going to do." And when our nation becomes so blasphemous and so wicked and so evil, and God's ministers are silent, and God's people are saying, "Oh, God bless America," even though we flaunt out our blasphemy and filth and shame, and everybody's talking about your best life now and getting money and all that stuff. Come on. That's not the pattern of Scripture. That is not the Father's heart. Every man and woman of God in this generation ought to be crying out, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Shut up the heavens, strike the earth with plagues. You've told us to prepare so that we're out of the way," because that's exactly what the two witnesses do. They smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Patricia Joy.
Well, I have a little trouble with that. But I may
no
be,
way.
I may be wrong. I may be wrong. And the thing is,
Well, you need to explain, what do you have trouble with?
Okay. Whether or not we should go smiting.
No, we're talking about the two witnesses that the Bible says
the
that's what
witnesses.
They do.
Should we be doing that?
No, I said the two witnesses are doing that.
Oh, I am so sorry.
And I'm saying that there are people that get very angry about what's going on in this country that may have that witness in them to prophesy that God would put an end to it.
I agree with that. Absolutely.
Are you sure?
Yes, I do. I do. Because I know I deal with that personally myself. There are times that I want to call down fire, as Elijah did, considering that these are supposedly the days of Elijah. But I want to be so careful that I'm in the perfect will of God, that I don't do anything offensive to my precious Savior at this time, where he will not agree. So, yeah, I have dealt with that, and the two witnesses he has agreed to. So I guess the study should be, who really are these two witnesses? I have heard so many different ideas and concepts about who they are, and I've gone in and out myself about various ideas, but we really need to know. It is time.
Patricia, is it possible that what Paul the Apostle wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse, I guess the end of verse 3, where he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that's kind of connected to what we're saying in Revelation, that the witnesses do. And then it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So obviously, when our own obedience is fulfilled, there is the righteous vengeance upon all disobedience that's spoken of by the apostle.
Well, my idea about that, and I may be right, I may be wrong, is I believe it's to be in the walls of the church. In other words, the body of Christ. I believe we then are to be exactly that way, because when our obedience is fulfilled, we have every right to go to anyone and tell them within the church, you are not correct in what you're doing, and this is why, in love, of course. But then does it mean that we have that ability to do so in those who are not Christians, who are already under judgment, in which God comes to take and to judge on his own? So, you want to help me on that?
Well, again, here's the thing. People are going to accuse Christians of not being Christian when they ask for their oil and they're telling them, no, I'm not giving you any oil. Well, that's not Christian. We have to be very wise in the days that we're in, but maybe our listening audience could help us today.
I would like that.
And the number to call is 818-369-0326. Maybe you can help Patricia and I as we're sorting through all of this today. And I just have a sense we're going to be going through a lot of different scenarios in the days ahead and witnessing many things. And perhaps some of our friends out there could call in. If you do dial 818-369-0326, press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll bring you right into the broadcast.
Yes. And, you know, the Lord does say, judgment is mine, saith the Lord, and I shall judge whom I shall judge. But we see a nation that is under judgment now without our help.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure. All right. We've got a call coming in. Let's take this. 479-586. You're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast. Help us out here.
Good morning, pastors. How are you doing?
We're doing good. How are you doing?
Good. My understanding of the two witnesses, every time I study it, is Moses and Elijah. They were on the Mount of Transfiguration with Christ when the apostles were up there with him. Moses representing deliverance and Elijah representing prophecy in the end time. And we know that there is going to be a deliverance and it is going to be brought on by prophecy. So I believe it's Moses and Elijah.
Maybe you could help me on this, because I believe the same thing. I believe the description is exactly what Moses did and Elijah did, calling fire down out of heaven, turning water into blood. The only problem I struggle with is that it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. And if this is Moses and Elijah coming back, Moses has already died once, and yet they're going to die again. So that's my trouble with that, but maybe there's an answer to it.
Well, I struggled with that for a long time, so the obvious answer was Enoch, because Enoch, you know, was, and then he was no more. He was with God. But
like Elijah, yeah.
Like Elijah. So, but with Moses, you know, nobody knows where Moses was buried. It said even the devil disputed with Michael over the body of Moses. So,
wow.
You know,
wow,
I always struggle with the fact of saying that, okay, did Moses really die because nobody knows where he buried, or did he just go on?
That's a great point. Then I would have to agree with you that the description is exactly Moses and Elijah. And is it possible that it's not the two men themselves, or it is the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Moses in the last days? I don't know.
That's a good question, and that one is still to be yet determined, I think, on my end.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call, man. Very rich. And I want to thank you also because you happen to feed us a lot of really good information and we're putting things together. Are you not pretty much just marveling at the different information that we're getting from so many different sources that are they're just one. They're so sound.
I'm not going to say that I'm marveling or overwhelmed because it's almost because I expect it, but based on studying the scripture and listening to sound preaching and stuff, and praying about it, it's almost like I expect it, and I'm almost surprised that it hasn't happened sooner. So the fact that it's happening now is kind of like Habakkuk when he said, write the vision plain, but it said the vision. You know, it will not haste. It will, excuse me, it will be delivered. And I'm like, okay, Lord, excuse me, you are delivering it now. So I'm almost expecting it. So it's like an anticipation that's coming forward. So that would be my answer to that.
Yes, and I absolutely agree with you because I know at this time, and I have witnessed it over and over and over again, he is revealing mysteries as he never has before. Our Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit. And this is going to continue to manifest as the time goes on before his coming until we see things so clearly, it'll boggle our greatest imagination.
Amen.
Correct.
Amen.
And the word, Pastor, the word keeps coming forth. Scripture that you've read over and over and over, and then you start getting into it, all of a sudden you're starting to see things. In other words, the Lord's starting to reveal things to you in that scripture that you've read 100 times or 1,000 times, and then all of a sudden he's telling you, well, look up that word. What's the meaning of that word? And when you do, it's directly related to what we're dealing with now. And you're like, wow, you know, how come I've never seen this? And yeah, it's coming alive. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, it is. And deep calls to deep. And as we see it on one level of understanding, he reveals it deeper. And it continues to move in that direction as deep calls to deep. Oh, my goodness, what a time to be alive.
Yeah, it is a time to be alive. And I want to thank the caller before I get into another question. 90 seconds down here. Remember, when you call into the broadcast, you press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right in. We need you to press 1, though. And again, Patricia and I, as we're going out, and I want to thank our last caller for sharing. We want to thank everybody for, again, honoring us by tuning into this broadcast. It is our work. We feel called to do it, but we are humbled. We are honored by your taking time out of your day to listen to us. And if we ever get into anything that you have questions about, please let be accountable to everybody in the body of Christ for what we're doing. It's important that we don't get off track in these days. And I have a sense that we're going to see some amazing things happening. Already, there are things happening. Be very vigilant right now. Be very watchful. Be very sober. Gather together with the body of Christ as much as you possibly can. And if you belong to a home fellowship or a family of God, make sure that you're operating and flowing together, getting on the same page. You know, we've got to honor the Lord in his request that we would all be of one mind, of one heart, and further your preparations and quicken the pace as much as you possibly can. Go out there, be salt and light, love people, help people. Again, I love what Mahatma Gandhi said, even though I don't get into a lot of these things. If you want to know the best way to find yourself, lose yourself in the service to others, and therein you will find yourself. God bless you. That's just Jesus saying, go out and live for someone else than yourself. We'll see you tomorrow. Daniel Second will be joining us on the air. Patricia, I want to say thanks for tuning in.
Absolutely.
Remember, Patricia, roundtable discussion right now, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on OmegaRadio.org. There's a roundtable discussion going on right there. You're going to learn a lot. Until we meet again, shalom.